I recently Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal, and boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest-growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016, or check them out at skclv.com. It is live and local now all across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. This next story is a Southern Nevada story, but it has implications statewide. I know that we know that after the primary election on June 12th, even in places like Washoe County, there were reports of glitches. Here in Clark County, you have an interesting race. It's not a high-profile race. They didn't run millions of dollars in campaign ads. It's the Office of Public Administrator. Aaron Manfredi thought he had won on election night by 4 votes. That's reason to celebrate. The problem is he hasn't won. He is a victim of up to 40 re-votes, and he joins us in studio. Aaron, first of all, thanks for coming in. Give us some history about this. You're running a campaign. You get to election night. You say, well, we're four better than our nearest opponent. I guess we won. And then you find out, well, maybe not. Take us from there.
Well, like all the other candidates, as the precincts are coming in, I'm watching online, and we're watching it through the night, and it goes, up and down, typical, voting numbers. And then as the last precincts come in, I'm looking at it, and we won by 4 votes. And so I kept looking at this, and I really was just waiting for, and I felt like there was some more precincts that needed to be, brought in or counted, because we're not used to a race being so close, and now it's my race. So we celebrated, but not for so long.
So when did you realize there were problems? When did you realize that your 4-vote victory really wasn't a 4-vote victory? And who is it that related this to you?
This was the elections administrator.
Joe Gloria?
Yep, Joe Gloria. He gave me a call. What it is after the votes have come in, typically a week later, they will certify them as candidates as the winners. And Joe called me on my cell phone and said, we've got some bad news, and that there's a lot of discrepancies in this, and I can't declare you the winner. And so this is where, from that point forward, this is where it all started, and which includes me going in front of the Clark County commissioners and asking a lot of questions that nobody had answers for. And me and Joe have been going back and forth on emails and really trying to get to the meat and potatoes of this. And we have some questions answered, Kevin, but there's a lot of them that have a lot of question marks behind them, and I don't know if we will ever know those answers.
Explain what and I'm talking about revote as it relates to the machines. What is a revote? How does it happen as best you know? How did it happen in this case?
So what I'm being told is that there was as many as 43 people who voted twice. How they voted twice, that's the million-dollar question. Nobody really knows. So what I'm being told is that the polling stations, the computers that they use, they were bouncing back and forth between offline and online. And there was certain people that when they were going to look them up, you know, they couldn't tell if they had already voted. And so there's a lot of information about that that I keep asking, and I'm not getting the answers, and a lot of people aren't. So I don't know if we ever will, but to me it sounds like a lot of excuses are being made for either polling people or not being educated and trained the proper way, which Joe admitted at the county commissioners meeting that he's really going to spend a lot of effort in training everybody involved. But here's something that's kind of disturbing is that when somebody mails in an absentee ballot, the only way they can check or see if their vote has counted is online. So what if somebody does not have access to the internet, is traveling, they don't live in town, somebody doesn't know how to navigate of where to find it, which is a tricky process in itself. So, you know, why are they not notified in some other type of fashion? You know, I understand it costs money, but, you know, maybe a postcard to say, hey, your vote's been counted. And, you know, if you try to vote twice, you know, here's the consequences of doing so. There was just a lot of people who did not know if their original vote was counted. And there's, when they say as many as 43, I think when it's all said and done, if they continue to look into this, investigate, it's probably going to be a lot more. 43 is how are 43 mistakes made?
Well, and let me ask you, why was it just in your race?
There's another great question. Why is, I think because mine, or what it, because mine was only, I won by 4 votes, and I think that because of it being so close, it was something that to talk about and discuss, where the other races, if the other candidates won by thousands, or, and there was some that there was quite a bit of a widespread, that it wasn't going to change anything. But what about the other races that were close? You know, there was some out there that were, you know, 20 votes and 26 votes. And, you know, I told the, when I went on Fox 5 and spoke about it, I said, hey, you know, I'm talking about not only my race, but what about those other races? Because it has to affect them.
Again, joining us, Aaron Manfredi. He thought he won the primary race for public administrator. It turns out they're going to have a revote. And I want to ask you how the revote came about. This, to me, is just a bizarre way of handling this. It's a mail-in vote. Folks may think it's junk mail and throw it away. It looks just like every other piece of mail that comes. It's a white envelope. It just happens to be the registrar's office or whatever. How did the revote come about? This was commissioned, I'm assuming, by the Clark County Commission?
Correct.
Okay. How did they decide on this type of vote? Why not set up the machines in a couple of different places and say, come on back and vote?
When I asked the question in front of the county commissioners, you know, I had a lot of questions, and I said, listen, why don't we do a recount? Why are we doing a revote? When I asked that, I had deer in the headlights. No, none of them had anything to say. They were just staring at me. And I'm like, okay, at any point in time, would somebody please explain why we're doing this? Everybody's looking around. They're looking at Joe. And to me, to sit down, have everybody sit down and do a, you know, of those 43
Why not do an audit? Why not do a simple audit?
Because that would be too easy. That'd be too simple, right? That's the same question I asked. So instead, they want to, this is going to cost taxpayers $135,000 when it's all said and done. It's going to super exceed that. So they all agreed that the county commissioners agreed that the best way to settle this is just to do a revote by mail. And we did discuss on what is that going to look like. Now, I do have some voters who have reached out to me to I'm seeing what it looks like. I mean, mine should be in the mail today, and it's I don't know what the envelope looks like, but the actual voting ballot is one page. It's bright yellow, and it has, you know, both our
names
on there.
Old school exit out. Right?
Not even an exit. It's a bubble. Yeah, so you
just
go in
fill
there.
It in.
Yeah, just go in there. It's like high school. You know, you're going to vote for
the SATs, Susie
yeah. or Johnny and bubble it in. And then so now what's going to happen is that if it's another close race, now what's going to happen is probably we're going to now I would hope they do a recount and they have to go back and figure out if the bubble was dark enough, like you said, typical testing stuff. So to put the machines out and have everybody come out just for that, they wanted to make this as convenient as possible. So, you know, I do like that option because how do you notify, you know, 70,000 people and have them participate?
Is that what we're looking at now? How many people voted first time around? All candidates.
All candidates. I'm not really sure, but in reference to, you know, my race, it
right.
was looking at close to 60,000, little over 60,000.
So there will obviously be more than 60,000 ballots going out, right?
Well, all those that voted during the primary, Republican, this is a Republican primary, will those are the ones that are going to revote. Those are the same ones that are going to, you know.
So how many of those are there?
We're looking at a little over 60,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many actually voted? That's the number that actually voted?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. What if in this revote,
yes,
they end up with 30,000 ballots come back? Is that really fair? I mean, 60,000 thought they had voted, and they thought their vote was being counted. Now they're finding out their vote is not being counted. 30,000 of those 60,000, let's say.
You're absolutely right, and I spoke about this when I went on the news. It's like, how do we? You know, we encourage people to vote. We spend a lot of time and effort to get people to the polls and register. It's an endless process even when there's no voting going on. So how do we put faith back in the voters to let them know that, yes, your vote does count? Now, when I won by 4, that's an easy argument, you know. Obviously, those votes did count. But you're right. I mean, if this is, you know, if only half of those people are going to get it, the other half could be throwing it away or they're not in town. You know, how are they going to feel, you know, when they did their homework and they went to the polls and they did their due diligence and, you know, basically we're telling them that it just doesn't count in reference, you know, to my race. It's just bad. It's just bad all across the board.
Let me ask you, what will you do if you lose? What if that 4-vote margin positive for Aaron Manfredi turns out that you lost by 70 votes?
Hey, let's do it again. Why not? Fair is fair. My primary opponent.
Best 2 out of 3?
My primary opponent had the opportunity to you know, find a way to get this done, right? If the roles are reversed now, and I'm being fair about the process, right? I haven't come out and say, hey, I don't want to do this. And although some people are saying that's not true, I want this to everybody to look at this and say, you know what? We voted for the right person and it was a fair process, regardless of who wins or not. My life goes on after this. I'm successful. Of course, I want to win, but I don't want there ever to be a question mark of this person won, you know, and they shouldn't have. So because people are bubbling it in, right? That worries me. And here's the big question is, who are these people that are getting these in the mail, going over them? How are they being entered? From what I'm being told is that on the team, there's one Republican and one Democrat will together enter the vote, and then a supervisor has to look over it and so forth. So they say. I'm going to ask Joe if I can be there. Why not? Why can't I see the process? I don't have access to anybody's personal information. I don't want to look at computers. But I would like to see the process of what this entails. Or better yet, why can't we have one of the county commissioners go over there? This is under their watch. Why can't one of them go over there to make sure it's a transparent process? Because what we're doing is we're putting it in the hands of one person who obviously didn't get it right the first time. And now we're relying on that person to do it a second time. If we have some county commissioners in there, let's have a Republican and Democrat in there watching the process. That's their due diligence to the people. Now they can say, you know what, Aaron and my primary opponent, we watched them closely, and that would make me feel more comfortable about it and the voters.
Okay. I've only got about 3 minutes left. I want you to explain to the voters, and these are all the primary voters, the Republican primary voters in Clark County. Am I right?
Correct.
Explain exactly what's going to happen, what the voter needs to do, when they need to do it by.
The ballots, the first half of the ballots have been mailed out already. The second half of the ballots, people should receive them by tomorrow. They need to send those back in the mail. There is a self-addressed envelope, and you need to mail it in. It has to be in the county's hands by the 17th. So I encourage people, as soon as they get these, to mail them back right away. As far as I'm being told, the results, all hands on board, and at the end of that night on the 17th, they will declare a winner. That's what I'm being told. And that's it. We're getting ready to do this again, and I just want to thank all the voters who, you know, voted for me and supported me, and I'm out there talking to voters and going to groups and organizations and talk shows how are we going to do this? We're going to do it again, Kevin. We're going to win again, and we're going to move on.
But let me just ask you, if you lose on the 17th,
right,
is there a legal avenue? Is there a court avenue available to you to challenge or appeal?
There definitely is.
I need about a 30-second answer.
There is on the first part of this. There definitely is, and I will look into that. I have consulted with some lawyers, and every bit of this can be looked at and could go through the court process. When I mentioned that in front of the county commissioners, they even said, well, this is what we're going to do because we're running out of time. But when I said that there's an opportunity that I could do this, they gave me that look like, absolutely, you can do this. But because we're running out of time, this is an impulsive decision that they're going to do. And, you know, if we win by 10,000 votes, then that's going to be a lot of votes to try to figure out what went wrong.
Yeah.
So get out there and vote.
Aaron, thank you so much. Best of luck. We'll see what happens on July 17th.
Thank you, Kevin.
That's Aaron Manfredi joining us, running for public administrator in Clark County. Stick around. More to do live and local now. All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. Sometimes I forget to push my own button. I do that all the time. I just love that. Want to remind you that this hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Okay. Now, this whole thing of lack of civility. We are seeing Mad Maxine is inciting physical violence, confrontation, and in a polarized society, I think it could lead to violence on one side or another. We've seen the kind of violence that the left inflames. Do you remember in Berkeley? They wouldn't even let Milo Yiannopoulos speak. Ann Coulter speak. And do you remember? I remember the visuals where they set part of the student union on fire. They tossed a bike rack through a glass window, a plate glass window, and they literally tossed this bike rack through the window. And if I recall, I think a cop was hurt, not seriously. But this is what happens when you inflame liberals and tell them to confront members of the cabinet. In fact, just overnight, last night, Elaine Chao, who's a cabinet member, and the wife of Mitch McConnell, was accosted by a mob. So what we've got, let's take an inventory of what we've got. We've got people on the left that can't believe Hillary Clinton lost. They call themselves the resistance. We've got Mad Maxine Waters, who celebrated with the attackers on Reginald Denny. Celebrated these punks. Simply put, we've got a potential civil war on our hands. And all because they don't like who was elected president. And Mad Maxine, let's go to cut two. Mad Maxine Waters. Mad Maxine is no stranger to any of this. And in fact, Tucker Carlson, last night on his show, this is cut two, said that Mad Maxine is simply a big-time hypocrite. And that is precisely what, and that's where the hypocrisy comes in. This is unbelievable. By the way, all in-studio guests on Live and Local Now receive a bottle of Real Water. With Real Water, you can hydrate like never before. How do they do it? Well, since Real Water is alkaline with an 8.0 pH and negative ionized, it can help your body to restore balance and reach your full potential. Real Water, it's available right now at Terrible Herbs gas stations all across the state of Nevada, and, oh, I love this, in participating Valley meat markets in Indio for the everyday low price of $2 for $3. $2 for $3. By the way, check out, this is great. Wayne and I are customers. It's called Real Water Home Delivery. They'll bring it right to your door, and you'll save tons of dough in the process. That's Real Water HomeDelivery.com. You can check it out on your smartphone right now. That's RealWaterHomeDelivery.com. Now, one of the things, this whole thing of incivility, and by the way, I've got some time in this hour, and I want your input on this, because we saw that in New York, a millennial, a 28-year-old millennial, supported by Bernie Sanders, upset Joe Crowley, number four on the pecking order among Democrats in the House of Representatives. He was rumored to be the heir apparent to Nancy Pelosi, if Pelosi ever stepped down. But a massive upset and proof once again that the Democrat Party is not the party of you and me. They are a niche party of the left. The people that want a single payer. The people that don't believe that the Second Amendment is right. The people that don't believe in Citizens United. The people, and by the way, one of the greatest examples of hypocrisy was in Reno over the weekend at the Democrat convention. And the fact that you had, this was almost comical, to see Jackie Rosen saying we need to get a big money out of politics. And then she comes home to Southern Nevada, and Tom Steyer wants to lay $2 million on her to support her campaign. This is bizarre. More to come as we continue. This makes no sense at all. The hypocrisy that's out there on the left. And a great example. Now we're being told that there may be a big blue wave all across the country. Liberals, women, first-time candidates running for office. They are so incredibly wrong. We'll tell you how wrong coming up. I'm Kevin Wall, the program Live and Local Now. It is Live and Local Now. Coming up top of the hour, Chris Glissman from Miawawana will be in studio with my buddy Jim Yoder. For those of you that don't know, Jim Yoder came on four weeks ago. And it was really great. And we started talking about stuff in the Coachella Valley. He lives in Indian Wells. He belongs to the country club there. He's a big to do. I mean, now he is. And but then we had him on by phone a couple of weeks ago, and he was great. We started talking about issues going on down in the Coachella Valley, issues across the nation, stuff that we talk about all the time. I said, why don't we have you on a fairly regular basis? Very opinionated. He'll be joining us in just a couple of minutes. Now, I want you to hear, and this was, I got to tell you, I didn't think it was that funny, but I played it for a friend of mine, and they said it was funny. Okay. This is Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, Conan O'Brien on a, I think this was the Stephen Colbert Open, and the reaction to Trump criticism of them. Remember in South Carolina, he called out Jimmy Kimmel, all of the late night hosts. And this was the reaction of Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, and Conan O'Brien. This, by the way, is cut number 3. Go. Anyway, I didn't think it was that funny, but I wanted you to at least know that the late night hosts heard the president the other night in South Carolina, heard the criticism. And by the way, the president's right. Absolutely, positively right. I want to close out the hour with Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs is on Fox Business. Smart dude, very pro-Trump. And he went on last night and actually celebrated. You know, so many people in the media want to berate this president. Lou Dobbs came on last night and decided to honor President Trump. This is cut number 7. Lou Dobbs on Fox Business Network. Here it is. The big issue, it is issue number 1 for guys like, well, to be honest, for guys like Lou Dobbs. This whole immigration thing, we're going to talk about it coming up in our next hour with Jimmy Yoder, our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley, who is here in Vegas for a large pet show. And we'll talk about what it is. And did you know, and I didn't know this until I went to the show yesterday, that we spend like $70 billion on things like vets, dog food, cat litter, catnip, Miawawana, and I did not know that, but I always knew because I've been a pet owner most of my life, and I haven't been recently, but I may go back to it. That we spent a ton of dough on our loved ones, and I don't mean our daughters and our sons. This is gonna be fun. We're gonna talk a little bit about that and a lot about what's going on. So much breaking news today. The Supremes ruled in favor of the American worker and against public sector, AFSCME and SEIU and all of these public sector unions. That we may have just put them out of business. We may have just bankrupted them. No, that's what we're talking about. The United States Supreme Court. And by the way, isn't it nice having a conservative court? Just in the last couple of weeks, the decisions released have all gone our way, and many of them by a 5-4 decision. Who says Neil Gorsuch wasn't a great choice? You want to talk about one of the best hires in the Trump administration? Neil Gorsuch fits that bill perfectly. John Roberts, Remember John Roberts? And we thought, oh, this is going to be the guy. Well, he's disappointed as some, in particular on Obamacare. But Neil Gorsuch, this guy has been 24-karat. He's been really, really good. Stick around. We got a whole bunch to do. Jim Yoder will join us. Our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley. Chris Glitzman, the mastermind of Meow Iwana. How it came about. How it came to be. And what the future of Meow Iwana is. It looks golden, to be honest with you. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It's live and local now. It's hour number three, live and local now for a Wednesday, a hump day. We've been talking about the breaking news, and it just keeps on coming. This just in. Justice Anthony Kennedy is going to retire. Opening up a Supreme Court nominee for President Trump. Yet another conservative will be added to the court. This is amazing news. And it's got to have Democrats quaking in their boots. Joining us in studio. He joined us, I guess, a month or so ago as the kind of the eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley. There are many issues across the state of Nevada that they face in spades in Palm Springs, Palm Desert, Rancho Mirage, Indio Thermal, Indian Wells. And a guy who is becoming kind of a regular on the show is Jim Yoder, and he joins us. What do you make of Anthony Kennedy announcing he is going to retire? Major, major news, blockbuster stuff.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? What a news day, huh? Regarding Kennedy, it's going to be a free-for-all between now and November. Chuck Schumer is going to go ballistic, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And don't be surprised if he tries to pull a kind of a Mitch McConnell and say, well, we're not going to let anyone be added to the court.
They'll probably Robert Bork him. Remember that?
Yeah, Borking. It's now become a verb.
Yes.
Yes, we're going to Bork him.
Yes. It's going to be wild. It's going to be fun to watch, isn't it?
No, it is. The Supremes, just in the last week, every decision has come down for the conservatives, and it's all been 5-4. And that may all change with Anthony Kennedy.
If we can go to 6-3 this year, and then there's probably going to be one more justice retiring, or maybe not even being allowed to retire, maybe passing away or something, but under Trump's administration.
We don't wish ill
on anyone.
On anybody.
But face it, there are a couple of people in their late 80s that can't stay awake. But anyway, if he can get to 6-3 or 7-2, that's going to affect this country for generations.
And all these guys that are being added, Neil Gorsuch, they're all young guys.
They'll be around a while.
Yeah.
They'll be here a while.
And we're talking 40, 50 years. I mean, this is incredible. What did you make earlier, the decision by the Supreme Court, again, 5-4? Which essentially invalidates an Illinois law that forces employees, workers, to contribute to unions. This I know we've talked about it a lot, but we now have the ultimate arbiter, the United States Supreme Court, weighing in that law is unconstitutional.
I think three major points are going to happen here. I think, first of all, it's going to completely change the political landscape in states like California, Ohio, Illinois, New York, and Pennsylvania. These are all heavily Democrat states, and that's where all the money comes from for the Democrats. So all of these dues-paying members that have been having to support the Democrats no longer have to do that. Number two, the NEA has already announced they're going to lose at least 300,000 members. That's the National Education Association. That's a lot of members to lose, and that's a lot of dues to lose. And number three, that a lot of people don't understand is the workers now have to opt in. It's not like they go to work for a company and they're automatically a dues-paying member and they have to go opt out. No, they have to go to the union and say, I want to join your union. So that's a pretty heavy burden for the unions.
And again, the success the unions have had over the last, I don't know, 15 years has been in the public sector. Private sector, every time you look, union sign-ups are like going down, 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 down. The only place where they've shown any strength at all, and it's not big, it's like 12%. Is in the public sector unions, which is AFSCME, SEIU, Teachers Union, cop unions, things like that.
20 years ago, 30% of the workforce was unionized. Now it's 6.7% of the workforce.
Yikes.
And, you know, that goes back. I mean, this all started back when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected. The unions got him elected. What was that, 1938?
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, 70, 75, 80 years of this, and I think the landscape's going to completely change forever.
And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this, but I remember, certainly it's long before my time, our time, that it was FDR, I thought, that opposed allowing public sector employees to unionize. I mean, this goes back into the 40s, but he didn't want that.
No.
And now the only strength, the only remaining strength of the union movement, except down here on the Strip with Culinary 226, is the public sector unions. And today's decision shoots them down big time, and there's no alternative. I mean, there's no quick fix to what the Supremes did today.
Other than about five big donors like Tom Steyer and those guys, where are the Democrats going to get their money? Because the unions were, you know, they were extracting money from the workers, even if a worker had a different political viewpoint. They were giving to the Democratic causes, whether they wanted to or not.
Let me just ask you, though. Here in Las Vegas, the union, the culinary union, the bartenders union, they are very, very powerful. They have been kingmakers. And unlike a lot of private sector unions, they actually are organizing. I mean, they're organizing different casinos that have heretofore, stations and places like that, that have heretofore, you know, had the you're not welcome here sign to the unions, are now starting to embrace the unions. Is something going on here that might translate to places like Indian Wells, to places like Palm Springs, to Oklahoma, to Indian casinos, places like that, where the unions have never been that strong?
Oklahoma is becoming a little more liberal than it used to be. Did you see they just passed legalizing marijuana in
good for them.
This week? Oh, yeah, you're one of
good
guys.
For them. I'm one of those conservative talk show hosts that says, yeah, legalize marijuana. You betcha. Yeah. We need more weed.
We have a guy sitting between us that'll agree with you too.
Well, and that brings us to Chris Glissman of Meowawana. You hear the ads. In fact, Jim Yoder voices those ads and is a supporter of Meowawana. And we were just at a pet show down at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. And Chris joins us in studio. Why don't you just lean in there if you don't mind? First of all, this industry, I mean, we saw a lot of well-heeled people that were down there. And this industry... I've always known it's a billion-dollar industry. I just didn't know how many billion. You say it's $70 billion when you throw veterinarians and things like that into the mix?
Well, Kevin, thanks for having me on. And, yes, it is. It's an absolutely huge industry, and it's been growing for years and by leaps and bounds. It's estimated to be about a $70 billion industry right now.
Now, at this convention, what's the name of the convention?
It's called Super Zoo, and it's held at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center.
And what goes on there?
So it's a bunch of exhibitors like ourselves, Meowawana, and we're there just talking to distributors and retailers, independent pet stores, gaining business.
Let me ask you, a lot of people have heard the ads. A lot of people have gone to the website. They've ordered the product. My BFF loves the product, likes to roll around on it on the carpet, likes to consume it. Absolutely is energized by it. Explain what Meowawana is.
Yeah, so Meowawana is we're a purveyor of 100% organic catnip that we supply around the world. It's a mint-based plant, and there's an oil, it's called Nepeta lactone, that the cats respond to. There's about 70% of the cats that respond to it, and it ranges from just small cats to lions and tigers. No bears. But yeah, they you know, they respond to it, and some cats, they roll around in it. Some cats do get energized, like Kevin's, and some cats just chill out, kind of like you know, you would with a marijuana.
Who came up with this concept? Is this you?
I did. I came up with it in the year 2000, 20 years old, and I'm sure everyone can imagine what I was doing then.
You were consuming not meow-a-wana, but some other kind of wana.
It was. It was not meow-a-wana back then.
and the idea of catnip with a marketing base of, you know, and of course every place the marijuana is being legalized, you know, state by state by state.
Right.
We're going to have 50 states soon that's going to legalize it. Why the marijuana angle? I'm just curious.
Well, the timing couldn't be more perfect. We jumped on board in 2015, and with the legalization effort of marijuana, it's not as taboo to talk about meow-a-wana as it once was. You know, say 10 years ago, we couldn't be having this conversation. We'd have to have it in the back alley.
And this is all made in the USA. This is a product made in the USA.
It is. It's all grown in the USA. We source some catnip up in Washington State. And then Southern California.
That's still in the U.S.
And
SoCal is also, last time I checked, still in the United States, which is always good.
It's on the left coast, right?
It's on that left coast.
So, and we also started growing, we have some farms now around Kansas City, and that's where our company is based.
And that's why I love it, because I grew up in Kansas City, and to see an industry like this coming to Kansas City, 20 years ago I would never have said it could be done.
In Kansas City, you know, or Missouri and Kansas have not legalized marijuana yet.
They will.
They will. They exactly right.
I think that's amazing. And you get, am I right? You get business from all over the world. You export this product.
We do. We do get business all over the world. We just recently received some orders from Israel. We're meeting with some pet stores from Australia today. Yeah, it is. It's just worldwide. We've got stores carrying in Singapore and the Grand Caymans. It is. It's all over.
Chris Glissman with Meow-a-wana joining us. And, in fact, you've got locations right here in Southern Nevada that are going to begin carrying Meow-a-wana. Am I right?
Yeah, we do. There's two Wolfgang Bakery locations. I think one on the northern side and one on the southern.
There's
side.
One on Eastern, and there's one on North Durango. Is it North Durango?
Yeah, North Durango. Yeah, that's correct.
Wow.
Yep.
And so you're actually reaching out to vendors, to retailers, to carry your product. Although you do sell it online.
We do. We have an active campaign. You know, sales campaign. The funny thing is a lot of people just reach out to us. They can see all the activity around our booth. We have a huge mascot. He draws people in, gains some attention, and yeah, the cats start coming.
I absolutely love it. The product, what is distinctive about this? Other than the marketing, what is distinctive about the product itself? You grow your own stuff. You manufacture your own stuff. Can you talk a little bit about what is unique?
Our quality. I mean, our catnip buds and the way we process our catnip is it's all done by hand. It takes a little more time and costs a little more. We put a lot more effort into it, but it does. It's a quality product. A lot of catnip you'll find in Walmart or, you know, some other stores. It looks like dirt compared to ours. And, yeah, the way we package it, you know, going back to the branding, the way we brand it or package it, market it, it's unique. And people love it.
Give yourselves a plug. If folks want to check it out, see what it is, if they want to order it, where can they go?
They can go to our website, which is www.meowawana.com, MEOWIJUANA.com. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Chewy and a number of independent pet retailers around the country.
And can they get the Kevin Wall discount still?
They can.
And that's 15%, am I right?
15%. We're also running another promo right now where you can get a free T-shirt. So
check it out.
Check it out on our website.
I just absolutely love I love it. More with Chris Glissman and more with Jim Yoder, who's my buddy of, 45, 50, 60, whatever. I mean, a long time. Let's just leave it at a long, long time. And he is now our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley. We're going to talk about some of those SoCal issues going on right now. We'll do that and more coming up live and local now.
Roberto Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Mexico, there was a phrase we used to say after enjoying a wonderful meal. Fabuloso. That's what best describes the authentic Mexican dishes prepared at Roberto's. Choose from over 100 family recipes. You see, Roberto's uses only the finest and freshest ingredients available.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Ah, it's going to be a glorious day.
Cat owners, listen up. There's a new product for cats who have the need for weed. It's called Meowawana. This isn't your daddy's catnip. The purveyors at Meowawana have developed an entire line of 100% organic catnip, accessories, and apparel. And Meowawana is manufactured with no marijuana. But who cares? It is so cool. Check out their amazing website at meowawana.com. You'll find jars of buds, pill bottles of leaf and flake, spliffs, blunts, spray, and even medical Meowawana ID cards. Your furry friends will love it. And Meowawana is produced right here in the USA. It's a perfect treat for your BFF. That's best feline friend. And you know how good catnip is for your cat. It helps stimulate exercise and is safe and non-addictive. Order Meowawana now and get the Kevin Wall special. 15% off. Just use the promo code WALL at checkout. We're not kidding around. Go to meowawana.com. That's MEOWIJUANA.com. Meowawana.com.
My name is Dustin Coney. I'm the owner of Mr. Coney's Barbershop, and I'm a proud client of City National Bank. My grandfather was a barber, grew up in his shop, sweeping the floors. Being a barber is more than just somebody that's cutting hair. You are a friend, you're a brother, you're a neighbor, and that's what inspired me to get into it. I was referred to City National by Gina McAllister. She is somebody that I trust with my entire business.
When Dustin came to me as a new business owner, I knew referring him to City National Bank would be a good idea because I knew they would take care of him.
It was important to be with people that I know care about me and my success and offer products and services that will help my business reach its long-term goals. I see Mr. Coney's being in every city in the United States of America. I see products, I see hair salons, I see everything. And I know as my business grows, my relationship with City National will grow.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Hot air ballooning. Over the decades, many of you have enjoyed the freedom of flight, floating high above the Las Vegas Valley, overlooking the beauty and diversity of our great city. But one segment of our society has been denied that opportunity. Wounded warriors, seniors, children with disabilities, in fact, anyone who's mobility challenged or might have trouble coming aboard. But all that has changed. Hey, Kevin Wall here, chairman of the board of Chariot of Fire Ballooning, a new 501c3 nonprofit. Our mission is to provide free or subsidized flights for those who can't afford it on one of a handful of hot air balloons in the world that are wheelchair accessible. Unlike other hot air balloons where you have to climb up and over into the basket, Chariot of Fire features a basket with a ramp so that everyone can come aboard with ease and with dignity. But I need your help. If you'd like to help wounded warriors and others in our community who are mobility challenged to live out their dream of flight, check out chariotoffireballooning.org. Your donation is tax deductible. That's chariotoffireballooning.org. And thank you in advance for your generosity.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
It is live and local now. Just a couple minutes before the break, we're going to carry him over. One of the people say, "Well, why do you have people from the Coachella Valley on?" And it's very simple. Simply put, this is a warning to everybody within the sound of my voice. The folks in the People's Republic of California are coming here. They are bringing those liberal ways, and you need to know what's happening in politics. You need to know what these refugees, yes, we have our own version of refugees, asylum seekers, from the People's Republic of California. They're escaping, but they're bringing a lot of their blue attitudes to Nevada. They're changing the demographics and the politics. Give me an example, Jim, of something that they're doing. For instance, you've got this 55-gallon thing of water, which absolutely drives me nuts. Explain quickly what that's about. I got about a minute before the break.
Drives you nuts. Drives me nuts.
You live there.
May 31st, Jerry Brown signed into law a 55-gallon per person, per household, per person in a house restriction on how much water you can use per day. So there are people going around saying they can't do laundry and take a shower in the same day. Now, the good news about this is it doesn't really take full effect until 2027. That's a long ways away.
But that's the direction they're headed.
That's what they want to do. In fact, the Sierra Club is upset because they didn't restrict it to 25 gallons a day. So that's pretty heavy duty. But hopefully.
So in other words, a guy like me lives alone. I like to take those long lingering showers. And you're saying that 55 gallons... What happens then? I get a bill?
No, they have the ability to come into your house and restrict your usage by putting certain control valves on your water taps. But the people who will have to pay is the water company for not enforcing it. And it's $1,000 per person per day.
So they'll whip you into shape.
They're trying
55
to.
55 gallons. Oh, my God. Stick around. More to do. Jim Yoder, Chris Glissman. We're talking about Miawawana. We're talking about what's going on in the Coachella Valley and how it relates to what we are living with here in Southern Nevada and across the state of Nevada. It's all coming up live and local now.